Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day that you have made, Lord. We are already rejoicing and we are glad in it. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the past week, Lord. Your ever-abiding presence, your angel watching over us and counting around us, keeping us in all our ways. Lord, thank you for your great faithfulness, Lord. Blessed be that glorious name. Thank you for the news this new week, Lord. Lord, beginning, O Lord God, with your word. And Lord, I'm setting you before our feet. So we thank you, Lord, for this hour to read the word of God. Lord, bless your word as we read this morning. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, Matthew, the 13th chapter, read verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. So with those words, our Lord Jesus Christ summed up the discourse on the kingdom of heaven parables. That chapter is full of parables, about 7 of them or 8 of them like that, you know, about the kingdom of God. And that's how he finished those parables and so forth, that, you know. So the king wants to take care, he said the householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and things old. So by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to quickly say or talk about the new is the old revealed. The new is the old revealed. Well, the old things are the types in the Old Testament, and the new things are the antitypes of what those types stand for in the New Testament. So you have types in the Old Testament, antitypes are the things which the types point to. So, and a better way of saying it over the years is that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, the way they say it and so forth, that, you know. So, the truth of this statement proves that the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, have one author, the Holy Ghost. What does it mean? I mean, the Old Testament, any of them, 30 authors in the old book of the Bible, and the Bible, 30 authors living different time spans of time and so on, that, you know, and the whole book is cohesive. Tell you that the author is the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21 tell us that. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is the author of the book. We are even told that the old scripture is inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why they are cohesive like that, you know. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, and many examples are bound to prove the one authorship of the scriptures. For example, one cannot completely understand the book of Leviticus without the book of Hebrews. People, they just think, oh, just the New Testament. You have to read everything, all the word of God, right? So they got stuck with the New Testament, you know. Good, but, I mean, it's not the word of God. So you can't understand Leviticus, for example, without knowing the book of Revelation and so on. Actually, you won't know it as you should know it. Or the book of Daniel without the book of Revelation. Yeah, you can read the book of Daniel. If you don't know the Revelation, you won't get the whole picture, right? You know? So, they are all interwoven. Or, take the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. You can read it. You understand it until you read the gospel account of the crucifixion. Have an example, right? The Ethiopian eunuch, right? For example, he had been to Jerusalem. He had seen all the, he saw the priests and so on, the temple and so on. And he crossed all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. He was hungry for God, right? And I think he was going back. The hunger was not quenched at all, you know. And of course, God called Brother Philip and so on for the crusade and so on, to go and meet him and so forth. What was he reading? He was reading the book of Isaiah. Understand that what thou readest? He said, how can I like that much? How can I? Except somebody teaches me or so, you know. Then the Bible said, he took from there and they said to him, of whom this man is talking about, knows the Bible. So you cannot even understand the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, without knowing the New Testament. That's an example right there. So anyway, so therefore, no one is competent to completely understand the doctrines of the New Testament who is not acquainted with the types representing them in the Old Testament. So this morning, just briefly, so the new is the old revealed. We're going to go through many scriptures this morning. One time we went through the Bible and show how the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in every book of the Bible. We have done it here before by the grace of God. But this morning, just maybe a subset of that, you know, that the new is the old revealed. So let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to help us understand what I mean by types, you know, of the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10, I will read the first few verses in there. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And that's a crucial, what I want to talk about, talking about the type and the anti-type, right? But first, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 11. Again say the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition means instruction, you know, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So this text, it's in reference to the children of Israel and the things that happened to them from the time of their Egyptian bondage until they reached the land of promise. And those things are neither myths, they're not myths at all. They are not allegories, no, they're not. But what really happened to Israel, and they were recorded for our instruction, the Bible says. Now, I've said all that to say this. So, we see that while the Old Testament is a record of the history of the children of Israel, the events of that history are more than mere events. They are more than that. They are typical of the plan of salvation as revealed in the New Testament. And an example is in that verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 10 that I read. The verse says, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The Lord says, are you that believeth on me, out of their belly shall spring up four, you know, rivers of living waters, right? That rock that was pointing to right there. So, not just myths in the Old Testament, that history, or just mere events, no. They are revealing the plan of salvation. They are types, good archetypes, in the New Testament, you know. So, you know, the new is actually the old revealed. You know, see many examples, you know, call it a Bible study and so on. It's okay too, you know, the church Sunday service and so on. A similar scripture to help us understand what is meant by types from the Old Testament is in Hebrews 10, the fourth verse. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing. Just a shadow. The Old Testament is a shadow, not the reason itself, the Bible says right here. So here, we are further enlightened that the Old Testament type, but the shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. So, but there cannot be a shadow without some real thing to make that shadow. And something about the shadow is this. It is not the very image of the thing that it represents, right? For a shadow is usually out of proportion. Look at your shadow. It's out of proportion to your real size and so on. You can see your shadow is out of proportion, right? So, and to your real size and so on. And it's an imperfect representation of the things it reveals. Yeah, you can see your shadow, not a perfect representation of yourself, and something like that, you know. So, the Old Testament tithes are shadows in the sense that they are not the real thing, and they are but imperfect revelations of it, really. So, we can say that a tithe, then, it could be a person, a tithe could be an event, or a ceremony that is recorded to foreshadow some future person, or some future event, or even a future, or a ceremony. So, another illustration is this. So, you know, typical person will be like, say, Adam, Cain, Abel, Melchizedek, Abraham, and so forth. They are all type of persons, right? Isaac, of whom we're going to have much to say, you know, some Joseph, and so on. Typical events will be something like, say, maybe the flood, maybe the plagues of Egypt, maybe the Passover. These are events, right? And typical ceremonies will be things like the offerings, the ceremonial cleansing, the feast, year of Jubilee, and so on, day of atonement. So these are typical, you know, half persons, events, and things like that, you know. So in talking about the tithe and antitithe this morning, two comparative words possibly called our attention. And those words are, you know, they are this, as, then, so, the word as, and then, so. Look at the beauty of the scripture. So, the kind of, I mean, draw our attention to illustrate the type and antitype. Let's get to them from scripture. The first is historic. When you say as, it's historic, right? When you say so, it's like prophetic or the future. Let's get some scripture behind it. In 1 Corinthians 15, 22, what the word as and so, as I read. So, as the kind of this past and so on, historic, and the word so will be like the future of prophetic. So, 1 Corinthians 15, 22, as, we go, as Adam all died, even so, you see that word, in Christ shall all be made alive. So, Adam was a type, right? And Christ the antitype. Matthew 24, 37th verse. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So the days of Noah were a type. The days preceding the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He himself said so. As in the days of Noah, the Lord said, that they are the coming of the Son of Man, right? And in John 3:14, as Moses, see those words as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so, there we go, the future, the past and the future, right? Even so, must the Son of Man be lifted up. So the lifted up serpent by Moses was a type, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted on the cross is the antitype. So we see right here, you know. Matthew 12:40. There are many of them, I'll just get one or two more. Matthew 12:40. As Jonah, see in the past, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the waste belly. So, there you go. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So the 3 days of Jonah in the waste belly were a type. And the 3 days of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of the earth are the antitype. You know, so we see right there. So this type with their antitype stand out so prominently in the Bible, in the scripture, that their meaning, the one I just read to you now, they are very, very clear, right? But there are many of them which are not so clear in the Bible, you know. I'm going to go through some of those this morning. The one I just read now, they are very, very plain, right? But there are many of them that are just hidden. You have to really look, you know, below or by revelation or whatever, or just to really find them out. So, for example, we begin from here. So, and let, you know, so we will take at so Abraham, for example, you know, could be said to be a type or represent God in a way. And they're going to speak about him so much. And so Abraham was a kind of a representing God. Now, we go about Isaac. Isaac was a type of Christ in so many ways. I will dwell on this for some time now. So, Isaac was a type of Christ. So, this morning we are talking about the Old Testament are, you know, I mean, the New Testament is the old revealed. What you're talking about. So Isaac was a type of Christ. So both Isaac and Christ were children of promise. And I will get Bibles behind some of them. Others I will skip. So how is Isaac, how was this a type of Christ? In so many ways, both of them, both Isaac and Christ, were children of promise. As for Isaac, Genesis 15 verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, meaning to Abraham, saying, thee shall not be thine heir, talking of, right here, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. That's God promising Isaac to Abraham and so forth. So he was a child of promise. So the Lord also came as a promise. Isaiah 7:14 says so about the Lord. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So this morning, talking about the new is the old revealed, right? Talking about Isaac right now. Type Christ in many ways. Now the birth of Isaac and the birth of the Lord Jesus were pre-announced. Genesis 18:10 concerning Isaac. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee, meaning to Abraham, according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah had it in the tenth door, which was behind him. How about Christ in Luke 1:30? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. So they were pre-announced how Isaac typed Christ in so many ways. I will get a little bit more by God's grace. They were both named before their birth, right? So in Genesis 17:19, they were named before their birth. 17:19 of Genesis. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Right there. They were named before they were born. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. And of course, in Luke 1:30, which I read before, verse 31 says, Luke 1:31, and behold, thou, meaning Mary, shall conceive in thy womb and bring forth his son, and shall call his name Jesus. See how Isaac was typing him. Isaac was his type. The Lord was the answer type right there. Now, the birth of both of them was contrary to nature. They were supernatural births, right? In a way. Sarah was a barren woman. Mary was a virgin. Let's get some Bible behind that. Genesis 11:30 says this concerning Sarah. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. And let's read by the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the story, but we can always refresh our mind. In Matthew 1:18 through about 20, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on this thing, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So supernatural, so the contrary to nature, right? As for the Lord, that can never be repeated against one Almighty God. Emmanuel came to visit his people and so forth, and the Sarah was barren. So they were not of supernatural nature, their birth and some of that, you know. So anyway, both are called an only son. Isaac was called an only son. The Lord was called an only son. Let's look at the scripture. Genesis 22 verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, talking of Abraham. Now God commanded to sacrifice Isaac to him as well as you know. 22 of Genesis verse 2, and said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and Gedi into the land of Moriah. And after him, there for a burnt offering, there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. How about the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on, that you know. Hebrews 11:17. They were all called only sons, right? I will give about two or more scriptures about the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So Isaac was called the only begotten son. So was the Lord Jesus in John 3:16, which every Christian should know. That's how you came to the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. See, the same word were used. Isaac the type, Christ the antitype. His only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is more of them. Both were mocked and persecuted by their own kindred. Genesis 21:9, concerning the persecution and the mockery of Isaac. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be here with my son, even with Isaac. In Galatians 4:28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Now look at about the Lord himself, Matthew 27:29. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hey, King of the Jews." So they were both mocked and so on, by their kindred and so on. Isaac for time before the Lord came, so many years before. Now neither Isaac nor Christ have broken any law. He didn't commit any crime, you know, that they should be offered up, because that same Genesis 22, look at Isaac verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and get him unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So no crime was committed by Isaac, thanking Christ. The Lord himself, Matthew 27 verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, he could do any evil done by him, he didn't break any laws, you know, just like Isaac. But that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See to it. He didn't commit any crime. Isaac tied him. Isaac didn't do anything, you know. So, but all were done in the determinate counsel of God, right? So how the old is just being renewed by the new. And so as Isaac carried the wood on which he was to die, so Christ carried his own cross. Genesis 22:6 say this. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and loaded it upon Isaac. He could have given, he had servants with him, right? Why can't some of the servants carry that cross, I mean that wood, and so on? The Christ is pointing to something. It's a type. Pointing to an antitype, right? Christ and so on. See? So he had many servants with him that went with him. Could have given the carry that wood, but gave it to Isaac. It's prophetic, right? So and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. What happened to the Lord Jesus Christ in John 19:17? And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called, the place of his skull, which is called in Hebrew tongue Golgotha. So he carried his cross. Isaac typed that back in the Old Testament and so that, you know. As Isaac went willingly to the altar, so Christ went willingly to the cross. verse 9 of Genesis 22. And he came to that place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and burnt Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. What happened to the Lord Jesus Christ? But John 10:17. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. So they willingly laid themselves up. Isaac didn't complain, he didn't agitate, he didn't say anything, you know. So the same thing with the Lord, starting the Lord there and so on. Both apparently by giving up, if you want to say that law, or forsaking by his father. Verse 12 of Genesis 22. And he said, lay not thy hand, no, upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. God talking to Abraham now, as he raised up the knife and so on. So God intervened. Say, don't do anything to that child and so on. Seeing thou hast not withheld thy only son from me. In Matthew 27:46, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why are thou forsaking me? So at that hour, like Isaac, Abraham carrying out God's instruction, you see, that kind of forsaking Isaac and so on. So the same thing, typing the Lord right here. Both rose, as it were, from the place of death in resurrection. In both cases, God intervening, because in Hebrews 11:17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall that seed be called. Accounting, verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So we are saying that was starting Christ even in that statement and so on. In Matthew 28, verse 6, he is not here, the angel said, for he is risen, as he had said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So that was type in Isaac, and he, the Lord is anti-type and so forth. Now I want to go a little bit more about this Isaac, because it's type, we want to spend rest of the time on this and so on. About Eliezer was Abraham's servant, right? For Isaac's marriage, right? I want to spend the time on the marriage of Isaac. This is in Genesis 24. I won't be able to read all the verses in there. I will just pull out, by God's grace, some truth here, some truth there. So we know how Abraham wanted to get a wife for his son Isaac, and he had this trusted servant called Eliezer. Abraham so trusted this man. All the gold of Abraham, all of his things that he had, this man was in charge of it. That's how God blessed Abraham. So everything what he do, the man was in charge. So much so that Abraham didn't even know how much things he had, really. The servant knows all about it. But the servant was very faithful. Anyway, that servant called Eliezer, he was in this marriage for Isaac. He was a type of the Holy Spirit. See? Why do we say that? So the mission of Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, was to go to Aram and get a bride for Isaac. So the Holy Spirit had been sent from heaven to get a bride for Christ. That Eliezer was kind of a type of the Holy Spirit, who is getting a bride for Christ. As Eliezer was not sent to get a bride for Isaac until after the latter was typically offered up, so this happened, of course, to offer up Isaac happened earlier on, right? So getting a bride by Eliezer happened only after that, offering of Isaac up. So the Holy Spirit was not sent to get a bride for Christ until after his death and resurrection. Mm-hmm. Everything about that is just happening Christ there and so on. So we see, that's it. As Eliezer did not talk about himself, but about his master's son. If you look at that chapter, it's a long chapter, I don't want to read it. He didn't talk a thing about himself. My master, and some of that, So he didn't say anything about himself, but about his master's son. So the Holy Spirit does not even talk about himself. No. but about Christ. In fact, the Lord said in John 16:13, talking about the Holy Ghost, "How be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself." Just like in the other, right? That didn't say anything about himself, right? So he was typing the Holy Spirit right there, you know. So whatever he says, that shall he speak, and all that, you know. As Eliezer was urgent, so the Holy Spirit is urgent. No, in 24 Genesis, after he has met, Rebecca, and all that happened there, went home with her and everything, and they welcomed her, he told the people in his mission. So now, they agreed that, Rebecca can go back with Eliezer. Now, the next morning, Eliezer wake up, say, "Look, set me on my way, I have to go, you know. Where are you going to go? Please wait for a few days with before you can go with you, say at least 10 days. But Eliezer said, "No, this is an urgent matter. I have to go right now," you see. So that is in Genesis 24:53 to about 56 if you want. So they had to concur. So they say, "This is an urgent matter. Let me go my way," and so on. So, and how about our salvation too, you know, in 2 Corinthians 6:2. "For he says, I have had thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So typing even salvation in there for God's children at the end of time and so forth. As Eliezer, by the pressure, he brought many gifts, gold, silver, and many things for Rebecca and so on. So Eliezer, by the precious gifts he gave Rebecca, revealed the wealth of his master Isaac. He told about Isaac, about Abraham, and so on. And so the Holy Spirit, by his gifts, gives us a foretaste of what is in store for the bride of Christ. See? Bible called the earnest of our inheritance, right? The Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance. If it's so sweet, what will be written in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost in your life, how wonderful that is, and so on. So those gifts that Eliezer brought to Rebecca, they were type of the gifts of the Spirit, telling us how wonderful it will be as the bride of Christ. Now, in a way, I can say that Rebecca, was a type of the bride of Christ too, you know. So, for example, as Rebecca believed and yielded to the pleading of Eliezer without the Holy Ghost, right? So the church believes and yields to the pleading of the Holy Spirit. So Rebecca herself was a type of the bride of Christ. As Rebecca was willing to separate herself from her kinsfolk for Isaac's sake, so the believer is willing to separate himself from his kindred for Jesus' sake. The Lord says, "If a man should love his father or mother or whatever that means, not worthy of me," right? So here comes this man from a far country. Rebecca said, "I'm willing to go with him," you know. So to Isaac and so on, was typing the elect of God at the end time, you know. So Rebecca was the type of the bride of Christ. Now, as Eliezer on the way to Isaac, told Rebecca all about his master Isaac, and what was in store for her. So the Holy Spirit, as we journey, this our earthly pilgrimage, is telling us what is in store for us when we shall see our Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So it's revealing, but the Bible says he show us all things when the Holy Ghost shall come. Show you all things, put us in remembrance of the things he has said before. And he will show us things to come. You see that? You know, Eliezer told the baker things to come when he gets to Isaac. So the Holy Ghost now telling us, show us things to come, right? You know, both now and in the future and so on. Now, so we see that we know that Abraham, I can say that in a way that Rebecca is a type of, is like a gentile in a way. I say that because why? We know that Abraham was the first Hebrew, right? And the Jews, those people are called Jews, are the descendants of Judah. Judah is the fourth son of Abraham's grandson called Jacob, right? So Abraham was the original Hebrew. And we know that You know, so and the people are called Jew, they are the descendants of Judah. And Judah was the fourth son of Abraham's grandson called Jacob, right? I'm trying to lay a foundation that I can call Rebecca a type of a Gentile. That's what I'm trying to get here and so on. How is Rebecca? Rebecca was the daughter of Bethuel. And Bethuel was the son of Nahor, Abraham's brother. These are all in Genesis 24, you know. So, now, we cannot call those people like Nahor. They were truly they were Abraham's kinsmen, right? We can't call Nahor a Jew. We cannot call Bethuel a Jew. Why? Because Jew begin from Judah, right? So, and the only descendants of Judah are called Jews. So, if Bethuel, the daughter, the father of Rebecca, is not can be called a Jew, according to Gentile and Abraham's kindred, then I can say in a way Rebecca is a Gentile. So, in that wise, so we cannot say that Isaac took a Gentile bride. We can say that one in that light, you know. So of course, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, you know, the Church of Christ is a Gentile bride. So even in that way, Isaac take him. If you can consider what I just said in the light of that, Rebecca can attract a Gentile if you want to, and so the Lord Himself takes a Gentile bride. Now, as Rebecca did not have to pass through any tribulation before she left her home to go to Isaac, so we believe the church will not have to go through the great tribulation before we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have talked about the rapture here many times, so I won't spend any more time on that. There are all kind of, there is the pre-tribulation and tribulation rapture and so on, but that's not the subject this morning. Now, so let me just read something in Genesis 24. So, 20 verse 53, so just to lay a ground for this. Now, and Isaac went out as Rebecca approaching Isaac and so on. When he got the early, what happened there? Genesis 24 verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, meaning Eliezer, what man is that that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master, meaning Isaac, you know. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. What does that mean to us? What is it typing for us? It's starting the rapture of the church. What happened to the church? What happened to the church? As Isaac left his home and went out into the field to meet Rebekah, so the Lord will descend from heaven to meet the church in the air. This one, I will never be tired of reading it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. See what happened to Isaac, starting what's the rapture? Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise forth. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Isaac meeting Rebecca, I mean, the type of the rapture of the church. So at eventide, it was, Bible says it's eventide, right? When Isaac met Rebecca, so it will be the eventide of this age, this dispensation, when the Lord Jesus will meet us, his church in the air. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, praise God. Now, let me just stop there and just get one or few more before we close here this morning. Sometimes, you know, they have a double meaning or application. So some types have more than one antitype. Meaning types, you know, now as events or persons or occasions in the Old Testament, right? Antitypes are the people, the persons or events, they, you know, that they point to in the New Testament. So some of them, they have more application. Let's look at Jonah, for example. The Lord uses the swallowing of Jonah by a great fish, right? And after 3 days, being vomited up alive, right? As a type of his own resurrection from the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. So Matthew 12:40, I think I read it before. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the waste belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So even Jonas' case, now, like I said, it typed many things in the New Testament. That's one of it. How many days the Lord will spend in the tomb. So, but Jonah is also a type of the Jewish nation. Why do we say that? Jonah was called and sent to preach to a hidden city of Nineveh. You know the story? So the Jews were called and sent to preach to the hidden nations too. What happened to Jonah? Jonah disobeyed and fled to Tarshish, we are told. So the Jews failed in their mission to the hidden. So we are seeing how Jonah typed many things, right? So some types of many more than one. So Jonah, for his disobedience, was cast overboard in the boat, in the ship, right? So the Jews had been scattered among the nation. See? Jonah was miraculously preserved in the stomach of the fish. So the Jews have remained undigested by the nation. They couldn't destroy them. They were scattered all over the world, right? Jonah typed that and some of that, you know. So Jonah repented in his grave, cold, meaning in the belly of the whale, right? So the Jews will mourn their lost condition in the graveyard of the nations where they have been scattered, you know. So we know that. Jonah was restored to the land. So the Jews were restored to their own land too. Jonah received a second call, didn't he? After the disobedience, after the punishment and so on. So the Jews, we have a second opportunity to witness to the nation, and they will obey at the end of time, you know. Now let's pick one more type, a person, Joseph this time. I won't read many scripture, and I'm going to be closing with that and so on. That. So now, Joseph was a typical person, right? Now, it's a person, right? And he was a type of Christ. I will just read the different ways in which he typed Christ, right? Joseph was beloved of his father. So was the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was sent unto his brethren. So was the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Remember how he was sent to go and the father, Jesse, go and look at your brethren who are with the sheep and so on. So he was sent to them and so forth. So the Lord was sent to the Jews. Salvation to the Jews, right? Now, Joseph's brethren refused to receive him, didn't they? So, the brethren of Jesus refused. Bible says in John chapter 1, he came to his own, right? His own received him not. John chapter 1 verse 10, I believe it is, you know. He came to his own received him not. Joseph was talking that and some of that, you know. Now, Joseph was sold by his brethren. So was the Lord Jesus. Joseph was unjustly accused and condemned. Remember, you know, that woman accused as well. And so was the Lord Jesus Christ was falsely accused, right? Joseph was buried in prison. What do you call it? Buried in prison. So the Lord Jesus, you know, was in the tomb, right? Of Joseph of Arimathea. So that prison that Joseph was in is a type of a tomb, right? And buried there and so that is a type. Joseph, that's right. So now, Joseph was resurrected, if you want to call that, you know, from prison, and exalted to sit with Pharaoh on his throne. So the Lord Jesus was resurrected and exalted to sit on his father's throne. He even told us, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame, and I sit on my father's throne. He even gave us this opportunity. We are looking for that right now, you know. So there to be an overcomer, amen? Praise the Lord. Not by our own power, see, by our Lord Jesus Christ. There to be an overcomer, not giving up on anything. Greater is that in you than that is in the world. No matter what you face, there to be an overcomer. The Lord encourages us. Throughout the book of Revelation in the church ages, he encouraged every church age. That is a promise to every church age. And because you and I and some of that, you know. Anyway, so Joseph on the throne became the dispenser of bread to starving Egypt. and of course even to the world of that time. So he was. So the Lord Jesus Christ on his Father's throne is the bread of life for a perishing world. See? Joseph typed that. After Joseph was exalted, he got a Gentile bride. You know that? I don't want to be reading scripture, just summary. The Lord himself, we get a Gentile bride in the church. So we see that. After Joseph got his bride, his brethren suffered famine and came to him for corn. We all know that story, right? So, the Lord himself, after he gets his bride, his brethren, the Jews, will do the same thing. They will turn to him during the time of Jacob's trouble, which we call the Great Tribulation. They will turn to him at that time and so on. So, so Joseph tied that too, you know. So, he turned to him for relief. Joseph knew his brethren the first time. They didn't know him when the first batch came to go and buy corn, right? Joseph knew all of them, but none of them recognized Joseph anymore. It's in Genesis, you know, Adi and so on, you know. So the same thing, you know. So but Joseph recognized them. So the Lord, when he came to Israel, recognized his people, but he recognized him as the Messiah. He didn't, you know. Joseph was typed that for us in the Old Testament and so forth, you know. So now, but when they came the second time, so Joseph made himself known to his brethren when they came the second time. So the Lord Jesus himself will be recognized by the Jews when the Lord comes the second time, all types in Joseph. So we know that in the Bible and from that, you know. After Joseph's revelation of himself to his brethren, they went forth to proclaim that he is alive. They went to tell their dad, oh, Joseph is alive, and so on, you know. So, and is the savior of the world at that time and so on. So when the Lord Jesus will reveal himself to the children of Israel, the Jews, they will proclaim him alive as the savior of mankind. So all that was happening in Joseph. Joseph then established his brethren, as we remember in the story, and their families in the land of Goshen. So the Lord Jesus will reestablish the Jews in the Palestine, the millennium and so on, that, you know. You see now? So the story of the chain of Israel, not just mere events. They are events typing the plan of redemption. So not just ordinary story and so on. They are really, you know, events typing the plan of salvation. So now, in writing up now, there are, if the type and the antitype have both appeared, such as the brazen serpent of Moses and the Lord on the cross, then it's very fulfilled, right? So, but sometimes if the archetype has not appeared, then the fulfillment is still in the future. So, like I said, the brazen serpent of Moses appeared, the archetype, the Lord on the cross, has already appeared, right? So that is already fulfilled. There are some occasions when the archetype has not yet appeared, and it will be in the future. Let me give us two or three and I close. Such was the plagues of Egypt, a type of the coming trumpet and via judgment of the book of Revelation. That's in the future, right? The type was the plagues in Egypt, the antitype, and the via and the trumpet judgments in the book of Revelation after the great day of the Lord and so forth. That is in the future. The antitype is in the future. Number two, another one is this. The cities of refugees in the Old Testament, if a man accidentally kills somebody unintentionally, they establish what they call the cities of refuge. He can quickly fly to that city and escape what they call the man that, you know, that shared blood and so that, you know. So you can escape to this city. If you kill somebody and accident, you can, before people mob you and kill you, you can escape to this city called the city of refugees and so on. So, at the end of time, God will provide the Jewish remnant, or will provide for them. He will make a way for them by a seal to be preserved during the Great Tribulation. So, it's a type, the city of refuge. Another type is this: the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar erected on the plains of Dura is a type of the image of the beast that the false prophet shall command to be built, to be made. I think I want to read that as I near the closing right now. Revelation 13:14. So this is still the future, right? We are seeing the type, the archetype is yet to come. And in 13th of Revelation verse 14, and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image. See that one, the same language was used as in the Old Testament, right? Make an image to the beast which had the womb by his sword, and they did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as will not worship the image of the beast should be killed. We all know what happened in Babylon, in the place of Dura, when they set that image of the golden image and so forth, the three evils shall not happen. And the penalty of death, right, is for typing what happened in the immediate future now. I recall it's not too in the near future, in the great tribulation and so forth, when the man of sin arrived on the scene and so on. So anyway, so these are a few examples among many showing that the scriptures, Old and New Testament, have one author, and that is the Holy Spirit, who conceived the new in the old and revealed the old in the new. Just few examples. There are many of them in the Bible, but for lack of time, so what can we say? Acts 15 says this. 15:8 of Acts. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And again, I read this before, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. See? Mm-hmm. All scripture. Old Testament, New Testament, and so forth, like that, you know. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What we are doing this morning is to give you greater confidence than you ever had before in the Holy Scripture. See? Or reminding you that this is the Word of God, right? And then talking about the Word of God, Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Be unshakable. Whatever, you know, I mean, take the word of God to your heart. So it's settled forever in heaven, he said. Let me see another scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him, meaning in the Lord Jesus, are yea, and in him, amen. So all of God's promises, whether it is in the Old Testament or the New Testament, all of God's promises in Christ Jesus, they are yea and they are amen unto the glory of God by us. That being so now, what's your need this morning? What's my need this morning? All of God's promises, they are yea and they are amen. So you just take it and just as God has said, right? So Hebrews 4:16. Having said that thing now, all of his promises, right? They are yea and they are amen. Therefore, let us therefore come boldly, not only today, every day of your life. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What do you need? Time of your need. Come boldly to the throne of grace, you know. All of God's promises in Christ Jesus, they are yea and they are amen to the glory of God our Father. He even says, if you ask anything in my name, find my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So what do you need? Anytime you come boldly to the throne of grace. In Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, he shall be opened. The promise of the gospel, all these promises of God, they are positive promises, and so on. They are yea and they are amen. Just take it as it says, and so on. Like a little child, you know, and so that, you know. Just drink it in, that you breathe the air, right? Anything you want, go find the promise of God for it. It is yours for the taking. They are yea and they are amen. And Matthew 21:22 says this, and all things Whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Don't forget, all of these promises, they are yea and they are amen. That scripture, Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord Jesus. Let us go with this mighty morning. So, the powerfulness of the scripture is the very word of God. He shall not return. The Lord so boast about this, say, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. You know, so whatever promise you need, whatever you need this morning, go find the promise, take it, it's yours. They are here and they are amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, to see the authenticity of scripture, the infallibility of scripture. Lord, we thank you. How that has only one author. The Lord God Almighty himself is the word of the living God. We can depend upon it. And it's the only thing we can actually depend upon. Every other person's word will fail. The government's word will fail. No matter who they are, they will fail. Only the word of the Lord Jesus, which is the word of God, will never fail. So we go with this understanding in our heart this morning. Maybe renewed, that will renew our mind daily by the word of God. All kind of things will cross through our mind. And they will always be counteractive or opposite to the word of God. Then we must do according to Romans 12. You know, we have to renew our mind by the promises of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for the reading of your word. I commit all the needs represented here this morning to your hand, Lord. Thank you, Father, because you said the earth. You know what is in the mind of the Spirit. And you ever even need to make intercession for us. So I commit the represented needs here this morning to your hand. Father, meet them in the name of Jesus. And I have a scripture for it, Lord, in the book of Philippians. Say, my God shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We receive as little children, Lord. Whatever we need, we just put our mind there right now. Whatever your need might be, God say, my God, our Lord Jesus Christ, will supply them. And we know his word will never fail. All his promises, they are yea and they are amen to the glory of God our Father. So we thank you for blessing us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We are saved.